Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is March the 26th, 2014. And today we're going to be talking about how to coach your athletes through tough events and difficult times. And we welcome your questions and anything that you would like. I got a question. I think I got a question from that came in from Amy Haller, so I can read that one too. And you know, talk about things like coaching mental toughness, and you know how we need to work on our mind, just like we need to work on our body, just as a muscle that needs an exercise. And also, any questions that you have. Of course, the main purpose for these calls is to answer your questions, so that's first priority. And so I welcome any questions or comments, ideas, or progress that you're making. That sort of thing is always great. And we always have the calls on, you know, the second and fourth Thursday of the month at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. So the next one you could put on your calendar would be April the 9th, and then also April the 23rd, those Thursdays. So today I wanted to talk about, mental toughness, different tough events that your athletes might be facing, and warning signals an athlete might be in trouble that needs who might need your help, and what's the difference between, say, good pain and bad pain, or good, what they're feeling in the race physically and mentally, and then different strategies to be able to handle the pain of effort and fatigue and, physical pain as well as the mental pain, and then how athletes kind of struggle with their inner mental battles. And any examples that you have from your athletes would be great. Anything that athletes that you've gone through yourself as a athlete, or athletes that you're working with, we can work on those kinds of things, struggles that we can work through. So let me just check in with you guys and see what you've been doing this week, and any questions that you might have too. Alex or Michelle, you have anything you want to check in? Is it good things or anything that's been happening with you, or questions?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Michelle.
Yeah.
I had an article published last week, and and it actually landed me a few new clients.
Fantastic.
So that was pretty, it was pretty exciting. I had it's called the North Shore News, and it services the whole North Shore of Vancouver, so it's quite a large readership.
Wow.
And I've been asked to help one of our national team field hockey players with her sport nutrition, and so then I wrote the article on that. And I got a couple new clients out of it, so I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm meeting this week with a high-performance tennis coach just down the way from where I live. And I also have just a couple questions regarding my fencing athlete when you have a minute.
Okay. Great. Well, and check in with Alex, too, there.
Yes, I do.
Excuse me. And I had some caught in my throat here. And then we can go to your questions here. Alex, do you have anything, any progress or anything you want to share with us?
No, I wish I could have good news. And I don't know. I spend a lot of time and effort on writing and speaking and talking, and I wish I had a better return. So far,
okay.
Not great.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you can visualize that. How's that? Use our techniques for visualizing that we use for our athletes. Yeah, I think it's really helpful to visualize what you want, you know, visualizing, like you say, a good return with people calling you, or things coming in, maybe following up with any leads that you have, or any other past athletes. It's always good to, I think, with other past clients or current clients that you have to, you know, ask for referrals kind of thing too. The best referral source is sort of word of mouth, people that already know you. So, are you still doing the workshops with I'm spacing on what club it was you were doing it with this squash club?
I'm having a talk sometime in, those talks ended because the squash season is about finishing it now.
Uh-huh.
So I have a couple of, one talk sometime in May with a different club, and a couple of talks in Yale University in June and July.
Uh-huh.
So those are two things that are down the pipe.
Okay, great. It's good to have things for now and in the future, planning different talks coming up. And it's always good, I think, if you're doing a talk to, you know, if you have any products or things that you could sell on the back, one of the easiest products is just to record the talk you're going to give ahead of time. And that way you get to practice it, and then you could put it on a CD or make it an MP3 download and then have people pay you there for a copy of the talk, and then either give it to them as a CD or they can, you know, download it from your website, private area, that kind of thing is always
To do what?
I was saying you could record your talk ahead of time. So say if you're going to give a speech coming up next week, it's a really good idea to practice the talk out loud. And since you're practicing it out loud anyway, why not record it? You could record it using a microphone. You could go to a music store and get a Shure microphone, they call it, they get a good quality one for just less than $100, $99 or so, and plug it into your computer, or you could just record it, with your iPhone, something, and have it as an MP3. You can use that Audacity program that I talk about in the modules, or any recording device that you have. There's Olympus makes these recording devices as well. And then you could have that as a digital recording, and then you could either turn them into, make a few CDs through your computer, so you can in some way sell them as a product at the end of the talk, because a lot of people probably would like to have a recording of your talk.
Okay.
Or if you can't do it beforehand, then another way is to just actually record the talk there while you're doing it. You can buy these at any electronic store. You could ask for a recorder of some sort. Olympus makes these ones, or do it with your iPhone or something, and just have a little microphone on your lapel or on your collar and record it as you're giving the talk, and then you could sell that afterward. If you don't have it available right there, then you could just take orders or take people's payment and then email them the MP3 or put it on your website, a special link that they can download.
Okay, that's good.
That kind of makes sense? Yeah, and that's a really nice way to actually make an income while you're giving, even if you're giving a free talk, you've got products at the back of the room kind of thing.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, hopefully that can help too.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard a ding. Did someone else just join us?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Amy.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Good. How are you? Hi, Alex.
Alex, and then Michelle's on the call too.
Hi, Michelle.
She might have her phone muted.
Hi, Amy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so thank you, Amy, that you emailed a question too. And let's see, why don't we go to Michelle? You had a question, and do that, and then we can do Amy's question.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Congratulations again. Why don't you tell Amy what you're doing again? You had an article published. got clients from that?
Yep. I got, I had to, I met with a girl on our national field hockey team for Canada, and she wanted some help with her sport nutrition. And then I, you know, I had to do the research for that. So I thought, oh, I might as well just turn this into an article. And it took me about an hour. Like, it was actually very quick and easy to write. And I've been getting a steady stream of inquiries from it. So it's nice. People then go onto my website. And, yeah, so I've got a few new clients out of the deal. So pretty happy about that.
Where did you market the article? Where did you put it? Where was it published?
I live on the North Shore of Vancouver, and it's like quite a large readership base, and we have a called the North Shore News, and it's just a free paper that's delivered 3 times a week, and it's a real sporty community as well, and there's some deep pockets. So I've submitted 3 articles to them, and they've published 2. So it was great. And then I have just a little blurb at the bottom of it with my contact details and what I do. And they now call me a contributing writer. Kind of funny.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It sounds like you've got a job there.
Yeah.
Is it a print magazine or digital online?
Both. Both. It's delivered to people's doorstep, but you can also get it online.
Great, because when you've got the on, just a tip, of course, when you have online material, you always want to have a blurb at the bottom, and sometimes you can do it at the top too, a link at the both the top and the bottom of your articles with your website, or it's good to take them not just to the home page of your website, but to put a link to, you know, say the coaching page of your website, or something that's related to the article that you just wrote. If you have more information on your website, a part 2 or something about that, you can refer them there. That'll keep them reading, and they figure, oh, I'll go to her website to find out, you know, say I've got 5 more tips on this topic, you know, click here kind of thing, or read more here. And that way they'll go naturally from their our online article to your website. So if you can always do that and make sure that they're live, clickable links on their for their website, if they can, you know, you can send them the article, and then oftentimes they'll say, we'll fact check it with you, you know, email it to you and make sure it's correct. Or you can ask them, can I just check that my information is correct before you publish it, kind of thing, and then just make sure the links are live, clickable links, and that they go to the right place on your website, and that if you want to give them phone number information or your email, you know, make sure that that's a live, clickable link also. That way people can get to you easier. And sometimes, you know, like on some things I've published before, they'll allow, you know, not only links at the end on a bio, but, you know, have a couple links in the body of the article, too, and say if you want to find out more about this aspect of sports nutrition, click here or go here, and then, you know, take them to various places on your website. So that it's kind of like naturally written into the body of the article, so people, when they see a link like that, they'll often just click on it right there, as opposed to just in case they don't finish the article and they don't get down to the end, they still are clicking onto your site, and hopefully they bookmark it and all, and or if you have a free or complimentary session or something, you could offer that in the article, or any kind of tools that you have. So just some ideas, more ideas about articles. I think that's a great way position yourself as the expert and get new clients out there. But anyway, sorry, I'm going on and on about that because I'm excited about
good.
Your article. But you had a question, Michelle?
Yeah. Well, earlier, I remember last year you had said, you know, whenever you give a talk on something, use that information in as many different ways as possible because you've already done the work.
Yeah.
And that really stuck with me. And what you just said to Alex about, you know, do an MP3 now on your website with the information. You know, you could write an article based on that. Like, you can really manufacture that in so many different ways to get you some business. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question is, so with the fencer, initially her issue was she would go into meets and she would start out slow and then she would have to kind of claw her way back and she would end up inevitably doing very well. But her first few matches, she generally wouldn't win. And then she would have to just really work hard to get herself back in the game. And then it was a lot of work for her and very stressful. And we've actually managed to turn that around so that her last couple matches, she's actually gone in really strong and had good momentum from the start.
Uh-huh.
Now what's happening, and she's going to Worlds with your girl next week, I guess. Now what's happening is she is, the last meet she was in, she was winning and she completely fell apart in the middle of the match. And as you know, it goes so quickly with fencing and there's only 2 minutes. It's different than other sports, right? Like it's over so quickly and then you only have 2 minutes between your matches with various opponents. So you really have to regroup very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's pretty intense really. And I'm just wondering if you have any just words of advice for that. First of all, just like when you're in the match to just get your focus back and get into the present moment, like what you can do right now when you're in your match. And then secondly, when you've got that 2 minute break, how you can just shake off what just happened, put that back where it belongs, just file it, and then just, you know, think about what you're going into, right? And that has to all happen very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So those are two really good questions. I work with fencers too, also, and I think that as you say, it's a really quick sport, and people have to react very very quickly. Also, I just want to check on, is my volume okay? Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
All of you, okay, good. If it ever goes down or so you can't hear, just let me know. So I can adjust here. But in the match itself, I guess if you could give the client a sort of a list of power words, that's one good technique, I think, because sometimes within the match, it's like you say, things happen really quickly. And so she might not have a chance to visualize something that she wants to happen. So words are the quickest way, you know, breathing and saying positive power words are positive self-statements are one of the best ways to get back to refocus. So, you know, maybe come up with five, ask her to first tell you the... somebody's got a dog, I guess.
Is that? I'm not on mute?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
You can just push *6 to mute yourself. Well, and then we'll, Amy, if you'd like. And then, after when you're ready to come back in, just push *6 again. It sounds like Amy's dog's having a panic attack. She's a sports psychologist. So, anyway, I was gotta have a little humor here, right?
Yeah.
But you know, Liz, have her say, okay, what's going through your mind when you're falling apart within the match, or you lose something? What are you saying to yourself? And first on the left hand side of the page, write the negative thoughts, and then do that exercise on the right hand side. Write the power words or positive reframing. How to get back out of that. And then write those down on the right-hand side. Try to list maybe three power words or three positive statements for each one negative word on the left. So you're kind of trying to combat the negative words. This also applies to our topic today of getting through a tough event. I think this is a perfect question that you have, Michelle. And so that way, and they could be really short things, just like, you know, maybe a technique, you know, some could be just a technique that she's trying to make sure she remembers, like watch your opponent, you know, I'm reacting fast to my opponent or something, whatever the technique is, even if you don't understand it technically, you can say, she might have two or three words to say to herself that help to remind her what to do, because oftentimes, yeah, when a person mentally falls apart, then they physically fall apart too, and the technique falls apart. So if she can list power words, either with some with techniques, and then some power words could be just general mental attitude kinds of things, like just say focus or refocus, or relax could be another power word, or breathe. Breathe out the last move, you know, whatever just happened. She can just go, you know, just kind of breathe that out, what just happened before. Then it's a good way to let it go. She could, or find out what her words are, things like recharge, you know, regroup. Those kinds of things. I know one athlete I have says her, you know, she looks right before a match. She looks in the mirror and looks at herself and says her own name, and then says, like for instance, we'll call her Julia. And she says, "Julia, you're a rock star. Go for it." So she kind of gives herself a pep talk.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you know, just say your own name and say, which kind of gets your own attention and says, you know, remind yourself that you are good, you know, that she is good, a good fencer. Or another way to say it is if there was just a mistake that just happened, to say it's no big deal. No big deal, move on. Next move, next bout, that kind of thing. So that she's not looking back at what just did happen, but moving forward. And saying, I can, this is easy, because she's probably saying to herself, this is hard, or I'm losing it here. Let's say, I'm resilient. You know, that's a really good one too. Resilient. I'm bouncing back quick. I bounce back quickly. I can do this.
This is during the match, correct, Dr. Joanne? Or could you do this as well for that 2-minute break in between?
You could do both, I guess. Yeah, I'm kind of sort of answering both your questions at the same time. Depends on which things she seems to be more appropriate at. But I'd say that she could do that during the actual, the bout, when things are not going well, say those words, pick out some, maybe not all those words, but just pick out the ones that are work for her, or also, I'm better than her, because better than my opponent, because sometimes she's probably thinking that her opponent is better than her, and looking at her opponent as being formidable and not beatable, but if she can say, I am better than her, or if she has beaten her in the past, ask her about her history. If she's beaten that opponent in the past, say, you know, I have beaten this person. I can beat them again. All that. And so she could say those during the bout. And then also, if they work well, she could say some of those things at the break too. And then during the break part, I'd say that's if you get 2 minutes, it's not too long, but you can that's a good time. She could do a quick visualization of what, and it could be something she does right on the spot based on what just happened, you know, kind of reshaping the movie. So, you know, she could say to herself, new movie in my mind. Because most of the time if she's had a bad bout or a bad session right there, then, you know, the mind wants to replay the mistakes over and over. But if she can do something physically to shake it off, you know, plan something ahead of time, like just put your hand on your thigh and kind of brush your hand past your thigh, you know, like almost from forward to back, kind of like saying, okay, that's behind me. And even saying to yourself, that's behind me now. you know, moving forward. Or like as mentioned in some other calls, like a pitcher I worked with went back after he did a bad pitch, he'd go back to the mound and pitching mound, take a rock or a stone and throw it behind him. And like it was a little ritual thing, that's behind me now. Or she might think of something. A lot of times athletes are really good with this, and they can think of things you haven't even thought of. And so you can have them have her just take that, take something and put it behind, say that's behind me, or breathe, you know, take a deep breath and just, you know, breathe, you know, physically make a noise, kind of like, you know, just breathing that last, you know, session out, about is, you know, what they call it, of course, in fencing, for those of you who aren't familiar with that sport, is each one's called a bout, but you could say breathe that out, and with her next breath, breathe in a good bout or a good performance that she can think of in the past. So she can, you know, have her prepare, like in her mind, a good one of her best performances that she's had in the past. And maybe give it a name, like let's say it was in Vancouver or something, you know, call it, say, so I'm breathing out what just happened, you know, breathing in my, you know, Vancouver performance. And quickly, just even with a breath, you can just breathe in, have a visual picture of feeling strong, of feeling powerful inside. Does that kind of make sense?
That's fantastic. She has, I did a MP3 peak performance for her on her, one of her best performances. So she's already got that. And so I think that'll be just an easy, it'll be a good segue for her in that 2 minutes. She'll have that, she will have played that visualization, you know, the night before and the morning heading to the match.
Uh-huh.
So I think it'll be nice and clear in her mind, and I think that would be perfect for her to do during her two-minute break. So she also has a, you know, an animal that she associates with that, so, you know, her anchor, so I can remind her of that. Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. So what animal does she have?
Lion.
A lion?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She's a feisty little thing.
She's a feisty thing?
This girl, yeah, she's totally,
good.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so if she had, I've worked with, that's a good, that you brought that up, the animal kind of idea. I've worked with that, like with one athlete for the London Olympics. She visualized a particular animal, like a tiger, to be strong on the track when she was running. And because she got kind of timid and wouldn't be as assertive as she wanted to be while she was running around the track, and you have to really fight for your position, like especially in the 1500 meters. So we had her work with like her tiger, her inner tiger, and she'd even make a growling sound to make herself sound, you know, just to kind of pep herself up ahead of time. And I said, okay, look, go online and look at, you know, with YouTube, you can find anything these days. Look at YouTube videos of tigers. So you could have your athlete go online and look for, if she likes the lion, actually watch a lion, you know, go on YouTube and type in lion and say it, lion attacking, you know, you put in those words, lion attacking prey or something.
It's morbid.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what would be helpful for her, but just you know, that look, if you a lion or any animal that's ready to, you know, that wants to chase and is ready to attack. I mean, that's really what the, you know, the kind of mindset that you want to have when you're in fencing, right? Is to attack and to you're not going to try to kill your opponent in this case, but just get points over them,
mm-hmm.
but to outsmart them, kind of thing, and be faster and quicker, kind of thing. So if she could go on to the a website and just look at animals, you know, in general, and how that's a nice way to. Sometimes it's if you could take a few minutes to get away from the sport and just visualize it in another sense or another on another level, you know, kind of get into a lion's mindset, then it helps you to then come back and think like a lion, you know,
yep.
Have that kind of energy and that single focus, like when they're focused on, you know, trying to catch another animal, it's just like this supercharged focus, like there's nothing else in the world except going for their goal, right? So in a way, I'm glad you brought that up, that lions or animals like that could teach us a lot about how to have that single-minded focus. And just go for what it is that's most, not go for your whatever it is that your goal is, and not stop till you get there. Because if in a case of a lion or an animal, it's their life or death. You know, they're trying to get their food for the day. In this case, with fencing, it's not a life or death situation, but you want to think of it as really important for that moment. It's the most important thing, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's great, yeah. And then you can also make, an MP3 yourself if you made one for her, but sometimes we make MP3s for people if they're going to use them before they go to sleep at night. They might be 5 minutes long or 10 minutes long. And something that's a little more lengthy so they can really space it out and focus on it before they go to bed, which is great. And then, but I had one fencer, a client, the mom asked me to make a, she said, could I make, for that two-minute break that they have in between, could I make a shorter MP3 that's just 2 minutes or 1 minute long, or so that she can actually put on her headset and, you know, be listening to that in between to get her ready for the next bout. So you could make shorter ones as well, and this applies to all of us in different sports too. Sometimes it's good to have the longer MP3 before you go to bed for them to listen to, and then make a short 1 or 2 minute MP3 for in between sets or in between different things, that little periods where they're competing. And you could make one for if you're making a 1 or 2 minute one, make one for, you know, with power words and you know, just short phrases that you come up with her. You could make another MP3 for with a visualization of, you know, just a real quick one of a past peak performance, and you know, anything else that, you know, take requests. I always do that with clients and say, what would you like me to put on this MP3 for them? And you know, start as you get to know them, then they start to trust you and realize that, hey, I could, you know, you could have it, or there's no limit to what we can imagine. You can make MP3s or visualizations about anything, really. And so imagine a MP3 for confidence, one for relaxation, one for focus, anything that they want to work on. So, yeah, is that helpful?
Super helpful. Thank you, Dr. Joanne.
Okay, great. Yeah, so, Amy, are you there? Did you have a question? I don't know if you're if you can unmute.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about the dogs. I thought I had it on mute.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, and your dog might need a sports psychologist or a performing edge coach.
Somebody was delivering wine to my house, so I had to go outside and sign for it, so they were going berserk.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so did you, let's see, you emailed me something, which a question which is great. Do you want to just say...
Yeah, I just had a suggestion, but before I say that, I just wanted to tell you that I did a workshop at the Pennsylvania School of Ballet last Saturday with kids and their parents. And a lot of these kids were about between 10 and 13 or 14. And I took this suggestion from you, and I had them as a group come up with positive words or, you know, affirmations. And they had to come up with 10 of them, and they were all sitting on the floor, and they had the best time doing it. And then I had them, each person had to stand up and read one of them, and one was better than the next. And they were so good that the head of the school said, I'm going to print these off and put them in the locker room. I want everyone to be able to see these. And I just had the best time doing that, and they were fantastic. They were really, really amazing what these kids came up with.
So you had them just come up with positive affirmations?
Yep, positive affirmations and positive self-talk statements.
Uh-huh.
And they did them as a whole group together. But they did such a good job. I had the head of the school scan them and, you know, send them to me because I really wanted to have them. But they're posting them there. The kids were just so mature about it. They were, you know, they really came up with some great things. So I wanted to tell you that.
Yeah, thanks. If you have the, like a digital copy, could you email it to me? Or if they're, without names or whatever, and then I could just...
I can send you the email, or I can just type them up and send them to you. I'll do that.
Whatever's easier, yeah. And then we could, maybe next time... I can include some of that in our talk here, if that's okay with you. And just, I mean, keeping their names confidential and all, but just the affirmations themselves, I think it's always good to have new ones and ones that kids actually come up with, and usually they're applicable to lots of different situations, right? Different sports.
Yes, that was a great activity for them to do.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So, at what age was this? Kids?
The youngest were 10. I'd say they were between 10 and 14.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so did you have them all in a group? And
yeah, there were about 20 of them, but the older kids, it was a shame that they left, but I don't blame them because they were finished at 1 and this workshop wasn't until 3:30.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they weren't going to just hang around. So she wants me to come back and address the older kids at a different time. So,
yeah, great. Well. Can you remember some of the examples of the positive affirmations?
One of them was like they gave some huge number. There are so many people on this earth. Nobody is perfect. You know, we were talking about perfectionism. Wait, I can try to find it. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah.
All right, while I'm looking for it,
yeah, you had a question?
Here we go. Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Be the best me I can be.
Wait a minute. Say it again?
Be the best me I can be.
Uh-huh.
And then we were talking about performance anxiety, and they came up with this one. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't ready.
That's great.
Whatever I set my mind to do, I can do.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it. Don't worry about anyone else. I'm going to do great. whatever happens, I did my best. Work to your potential in all that you achieve. Practice makes better. Strive to be the better you. I thought that was a really good one. Strive to be the better you. Oh, the other one was like zero out of this huge number of people.
Say that again?
Nobody out of a certain amount of people are perfect.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Nobody's perfect. Yeah. It's okay to even if I mess up, I can move on.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So that was the example.
That's fantastic. Thanks for reading those. Yeah, those are great. And then you said, whatever happens, I did my best.
Whatever happens, I did my best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's great. If you get a chance to email them to me, then I can share them with the group too. And we could put them on the website there, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're all sort of...
I was thinking I was going to do that. I was going to put it on my website.
Yeah. And just leave the names off kind of thing. And you can... they're really encouraging. along those lines, there's a lot of research on happiness these days. And I think it's called Happiness... I'll have to look it up for sure. Happinessproject.org. I think there's where you can, they have a lot of those kinds of affirmations too, and just talking about how we can use affirmations and also, kind of make a gratefulness list, a list of things that you're grateful for. That's one way that people are more happy, and if you can create that happiness within yourself or that a feeling of self-worth, then performance naturally flows from that, I think, from being okay, as opposed to thinking, okay, I have to perform well, then I will like myself. You know, a lot of athletes come from that perspective, but if, they have to kind of prove themselves first before they're going to like themselves or be happy. But if you can turn it around so that you've like yourself first and that you accept yourself as you are and feel happy and good inside, then a good performance can flow from that. I think it takes the pressure off so that you don't have to do work as hard, because you're going to be happy and feel good about yourself no matter what.
I'm sorry, Joanne, what's the website again? Happiness what?
What's that, what?
What's the name of the website?
Happinessproject.org. But that's as I remember, it's something like that. But if that's not exactly correct, then I'll get the right one to you. But let me see. It's something about, or just Google Happiness Project, and the correct website should come up, something along those lines. But it's what they do is they go to, they're doing research on happiness, and they have different activities that you can do at events. Where you can, people make these big, huge posters with different statements on them. Like one of them I remember is, I'm not sure if that's the correct one. But it's something like that, happiness. It must be, it's something similar to that, but that's not exactly the right URL. You can just Google Happiness Project, and I'll try to look it up after this too. But anyway, it's just that some people that are they're doing research on that area of what you can do to make yourself to bring more happiness into your life, into yourself. And one of them, I remember one of the phrases was "I am enough." That's kind of a nice phrase too. "I am enough." It's like I don't have to prove myself to feel happy, but I am enough, just myself. And another one was be yourself. So rather than, you know, be authentic is what they're saying. Be yourself, because use the gifts that you have. Use the gifts. Use what you have yourself, as opposed to just always just trying to reach for the stars, kind of thing. So that's some other ones I remember from there. Anyway, Amy. So thank you for sharing that with the Peninsula Ballet, and those affirmations are great. And then you had a question, did you?
It wasn't a question. Something that I just wanted to share from another membership call that I do.
Okay.
And it's just a slightly different venue, and I didn't know how you felt about it. But one of the things that I was thinking that might work, because what happens to me, like especially today, I have to hang up at 1 because I have something else. But you have such a great list of all the things that we're going to do. And then I think what happens sometimes is we have really good discussions, and if somebody has a question, we get kind of detoured on that, and then we only have a few short minutes and don't get through what we need to. So my suggestion was what we do in the other call is we just sort of have a brief introduction. Everybody says hello, maybe 5 minutes of, you know, wins or whatever's going on, and then he sort of shuts down the discussion and goes through the agenda and then lets us come back on after a half an hour, and then we spend at least, you know, 20 minutes if anybody wants to talk about anything. And, it works well because you kind of get through the material that we were intended to get through, but then everybody still, we don't go off on tangents for too long.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Actually, I was thinking along the same lines. Yeah, so we could start that. I want to go through the material that we're going to do today right now, but then next time we can, do that format. I think that's a better idea, yeah, so that we get through the main material that I wanted to share here. And that's great. That's really a good thought about that. And then another thing I could do is make a separate recording of that material to cover, so you've got that on a separate recording. Let's do that right now. Go on to the material I wanted to cover here on how to coach athletes through the difficult moments. And in fact, let me see if I could do that right now. I'll turn off. Everybody, stay on the line. But I'll finish this recording and then start a new recording. So for the material here. So just hang on just a second. Okay, so here's part 2 of our talk. Is everyone there? Let me just check in. Can you all hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, make sure that works okay. Okay, good. So this is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter at Performing Edge Coaching International. It is March the 26th, and we're just now going to go into the material for our call here. And so I wanted to talk about how to coach athletes through the difficult parts of their events, and I think, you know, and sort of working on that area of mental toughness, because I think it's something that we find ourselves in, and no matter how well trained you are physically or how refined your sports skills are, you're inevitably athletes, you know, encounter situations that seem, you know, really mentally challenging or physically painful, you know, and the key is to be able to recognize them early and to, I think, be able to develop strong mental skills, different things, ways that they can intervene. So, and I'm talking about, you know, with you know, in terms of physical pain, I'm not with if an athlete does have something that requires medical attention or is really serious, then that's something you don't want to ignore. So I want to distinguish the two different types of pain, bad pain and good pain. And what I call bad pain is like that type that could be, you know, have could lead to an injury, something like a sharp pain in a joint area, like a knee or a hip or ankle or back. And if that persists, or, you know, you want to check that out by a health professional or have your athletes go to a physical therapist or a doctor. And that's the sort of thing you want to pay attention to. The other kind of pain, what I call good pain, is like the pain of effort, you know, just working hard. That's the type of pain that builds strength but not doing any physical damage. So it's the feeling of your heart and lungs and and muscles working really hard. And it's the type of discomfort or pain that you can work through using your mental training techniques. So we'll explore how to use mental imagery and, you know, the power words and all the different techniques with Performing Edge, the program to manage that kind of pain, the good pain, I call it, and that can lead to, you know, your performance going downhill or can lead to, you know, kind of that negative energy coming in, because I think athletes can really turn it around. And, for example, in the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon, you know, that's when I got second in that race. I was actually, after the, you know, finishing the bicycle ride, I was ready to quit the race. I was just having so much pain and just so incredibly tired, and I was sort of talking myself out of it, but was able to. That's where I developed some of these techniques to be able to move forward and to say, hey, I can go to a time when I was felt successful. You know, think of like when I was won the San Francisco Marathon 2 years earlier, and draw energy from that to help me through the race, to help me feel better, to feel, you know, think of a time when I was strong and then feel that now. And that's what you can help your athletes to do also. So some of the things that, and it, of course, it led me to, you know, going from 19th place in the race to going up all the way up to second place using the mental strategy. So I realized, hey, this stuff is really powerful and this can really work. So some typical signs of negative energy or pain are things like feeling anxious or fearful. Sometimes athletes will feel really worried about, you know, can I finish this event or can I finish the race or the game? Sometimes you have difficulty thinking clearly, or they might feel have difficulty focusing or concentrating because they're, you know, they're wondering about their body and if they can make it. Sometimes you develop a tunnel vision so that you're only, that can be useful sometimes. Where you're only focused on one thing, but sometimes you get so focused on one thing that you're not looking around you and maybe not aware of your body. So that's good to assess for that. Sometimes there's self-defeating beliefs or critical self-thoughts. Athletes can have self-doubts, wondering about their ability to do well in that event. And then there's the emotions that can go crazy when you're feeling a lot of just feeling tired, feeling fatigued, feeling that pain of effort. You know, your emotions, sometimes athletes start crying. If they're younger, oftentimes they might be, yeah, tear up or get really anxious. Sometimes the athletes can get a panic attack and just start breathing really hard. You know, worrying about their events. So those are things to watch out for. In terms of body reactions, you can see a shallow breathing or a short shallow breathing or a high blood pressure or accelerated heart rate. So that kind of thing as another sign of pain or negative energy. Also, your aching body or general aching all over the body. And hopefully if it's not just one specific area, then it's an indicator that it's kind of the good pain. I'm talking about the pain of effort. Sometimes your legs or arms might feel weak or rubbery, or your muscles become tense or cramped. And sometimes that, you know, just because you're, you know, an athlete might just be really low on energy, they're having a hard time with slow, you know, just feeling like everything is like in slow motion. And so they have difficulty thinking. Sometimes, it, you know, in bicycle racing we call it bonking, where you're, you know, just low on carbohydrates or your blood sugar level is low, and sometimes it could be a matter of just eating more that needs to be done, and that can really improve mood. Or sometimes, you know, actually, if you think about it, what I do, what's a really powerful technique is when I'm drinking, like if I was in the Ironman, you know, be drinking a sports drink like a Gatorade or Cytomax, and as I was drinking, I would say to myself, I'm drinking in energy. So that, or I'm drinking, this drink is making, is giving me strength, is giving me power. So I'm not only getting the calories and the electrolyte from the food, you know, from that drink, but I'm also, you know, it's having a placebo effect, which is, as we all know, is a really powerful thing. You know, doctors, researchers say it kind of screws up studies sometimes because the, but what it shows is how powerful our beliefs are, that if you say you're drinking something and then you actually tell yourself this drink is really helping me, you're actually giving more power and allowing that that drink to have more, to give you more strength and more energy. In the same way, if you say this drink isn't going to help me at all, or this is doing nothing for me, and then it's you're taking away that added power. So that's really something you can say, is actually have a positive affirmation along with drinking your sports drink. So I know everybody, you know, and you can tell your athletes that everybody's probably experienced a few of these symptoms at some point during their training or their competition. And with regular practice and awareness, I think you can help your athletes to manage the pain and let go of that bad energy more effectively. And you can teach athletes that they can control how deeply they feel things and how long their emotions and moods last. And you can learn to shift from one emotion to another and actually change your focus, you know, from that physical or mental discomfort to more of the focus of what you're doing right now, to getting to the end of your goal, to focusing on the enjoyment of your sport. Like with the Ironman, I kept saying to myself, just chunking it down into smaller pieces and realizing, okay, I just want to enjoy or focus on this one mile, just this mile, and that really helped. So I wanted to give you a few techniques for the specific ones that your athletes can use to handle the good pain, what I call good pain or pain of effort, that can lead to, you know, kind of negative thoughts. So the first one, as I mentioned, is to, you know, break the experience down into smaller, more manageable pieces. Oftentimes if you have a long event or something that's going, or maybe you have an athlete that's like a fencer, like Michelle, you were saying, that has she has a competition that's going to last an hour or two or all day. They might be thinking, "Oh God, this is going to be so long, or I've got so much to get through." But if you can say to yourself, you know, this is you're not thinking about the whole thing, but just say, "I'm just focused on this part, whatever it is." At that moment, if you know, with Alex, with your squash clients, if you can say, "I'm just focused on this one match, this one squash match," or just focus on this play, then it makes it a lot more enjoyable and more intense, and you can your athletes will perform a lot better. Amy, with your ballet, you know, they can just say, "Just focused on this one a dance move." So just saying, you know, focusing on that one part, and then being able to, or just say, you know, with a marathoner, say, or someone is running, or a bicycle, or like I know Michelle, you're working with mountain bikers. Sometimes saying, I'll hold on to this pace. If I hold on to this one more mile, just and see how I feel. It's almost like a bargaining to yourself. So that's one step, and then being able to. Another one is to develop a mantra or a chant, some kind of a simple set of phrases or words that you can repeat to yourself. Have your athlete do that to stay focused. So if you can give them, have them come up with some phrases, that's the best way to customize it for them, for their particular sport. And you can also give them some of your own that you've come up with, or work with them together to come up with some good phrases, like, every step is getting easier, or something that rhymes is good, where my mind goes, my energy flows, or run easy, smooth, and light, or stay strong, go long, that kind of thing. Energy, keep going, energy flowing. Those are all real good, easy things to remember. I'm getting closer and closer to my goal. Like with the fencing, with Michelle, you can say that, have your athletes say this, this bout is getting easier all the time. Or I'm reacting, I'm watching my opponent reacting quickly. I believe in myself, I'm well prepared. So those kind of things, develop some kind of a chant or mantra, simple set of phrases that you can say to yourself, and that way you can stay focused, and it prevents the negative thoughts or the from entering. And you could count your breaths, your footsteps, you could sing a song, you could or take one phrase and just repeat it over and over again. And then when you get to, let's say, the next 5 minutes later, take a second phrase and repeat that over and over again. Sometimes that's easy to do. It gives your mind something to do so that you're not thinking about the mistake that you just did, or you're not thinking about the pain so much. And then a third technique is to just, you want to be able to center yourself, breathe and relax mentally and physically. So you want to deliberately slow down, deepen your breathing. So that will really help your muscles let go. And then if you do have pain in a particular area, it's amazing how if you just kind of breathe real deeply, breathe through the pain, it'll help the pain lessen. The pain that we're talking again about, the pain of effort that's not doing damage to your body. So you can say, and then if you say a short phrase or affirmation or power words while you're breathing, then it gives your mind and body are in sync with each other. So saying, I'm breathing in inner strength, I'm breathing out negative thoughts. or you can say, I'm becoming more relaxed with each step. Or I'm breathing in confidence, I'm breathing out the stress. So give your mind something to do so it's actively thinking of something positive. So that's another technique. A fourth one is to use, when you do have this pain, the pain of effort, you want to use the pain as feedback. So not just register it as pain, but think of it as effort level. So it's kind of like you're saying to yourself, okay, this is feedback for me. Now I know what I should be doing. My body's doing exactly what it should be doing. This is how I should be feeling in order to improve, to go faster. now I know exactly how hard I'm working or how this pace feels. So think of it like the pain as something that's showing you, where your body's at, or just where you're at in your training or in your event. And if you feel a little bit more pain, you can say to yourself, it's okay. This is telling me how hard I am working. So you use it as feedback, And then also that sense of, another technique is that sense of familiarity. The fifth thing is you can say to yourself, okay, this is just like training. This is just like practice. Sort of have that practice mindset. Even though you're in a game, I was just working with a 11-year-old kid last night, a basketball player, and he was he has a certain mindset when he's in practice, but then when he goes into the game, he gets really timid and doesn't do as well, makes mistakes, and then he gets put out on the bench and then gets frustrated. And when he gets put back in again, then he's more timid and more scared of making more mistakes. And then feeling that the emotions get in. So if he can say, you can take an athlete like that and say, okay, even while he's on the bench, have him practice practice being in the game or visualizing his best game or seeing himself out there. Like he plays point guard as a basketball player. So imagine when the other point guard is out there playing, imagine himself playing in his place. So he's mentally warmed up as well as physically warmed up. And so as soon as he gets put back in the game, it's like he's already been playing and is ready to go again. So imagine that staying in the game mentally, even when you're on the bench. And then when he gets in the game, to be able to say, or any athlete say, okay, I've felt this sensation before. Use it, the pain is just a sensation or something familiar. This is familiar. I can handle this again. I'm in my practice mindset. Because really, you can tell them every game is just like a practice for the next game, right? And so this feeling is connected with doing my best and being focused. Or I'm experiencing the same feelings in this game that I have practiced in my training. So you make it really familiar and use that same mindset that they've had before. So it becomes it becomes more comfortable. So it's not something brand new. So then another technique I want to give you for the pain is to. Or the difficult moments is to be able to, there's two techniques called associate and disassociate, and you may have heard of these before, and there's always kind of an argument which is better to do. I think it's good to, the best athletes do both of these techniques, depending on the situation. So associate is like doing a body scan, being fully in the here and now, and being aware of your body. And the task at hand, so you're asking yourself, okay, a body scan every few minutes to assess your form and your technique, or you're saying, okay, where if it's a guy playing basketball, where am I on the court right now? Where's my opponents? Being fully in the situation. Am I in good position to shoot? Should I pass? Being right there, right here, right now. Asking yourself questions too about your body. How are my legs feeling? What's my turnover rate? And relax any tense and relax the muscle groups. And if you're, let's say, a swimmer, you could ask. The swimmer can ask, "Where am I?" If they're in a middle of a swim meet, okay, am I leading? Am I following? How far am I from the next competitor? They can see the competitor in the next lane, and just really being in the here and now. How many strokes have I done? How far have I got to go to the end of the pool? And just being really aware of what's going on at that moment. So that's association, being fully in the present and in the here and now. And I think that's a really important technique to check in with yourself every now and then to have that association so you know exactly what's happening. And it's good to, if you're working on a particular technique, let's say your form is falling apart because you're getting tired, then a good technique for handling the pain is to check in with your technique. Let's say running, runners tend to get really tight shoulders, so you want to be able to relax your shoulders and move forward. And you know, relax your upper body so that your lower body can do the work. So whatever is the particular thing that that athlete does in that sport, in your sport, when they get up, when they get tired, or in pain, that's what you want to focus on, the way that they can be more relaxed and more focused. And oftentimes, like I know we were talking about fencing, fencers tend to go back to old habits if they're getting frustrated, rather than assessing, okay, what's my opponent doing now? How can I react quickly? And coming up with and listening to their coach on the sidelines, who's probably giving them instructions what to do, to be able to listen to that coach. So that's association. And then disassociation is going the opposite of that, going somewhere else in your mind. And that's a good technique also, but you want to do that when you're not in a critical point in the course or in the game where you need full attention. So that works well with, let's say, a long-distance sport, endurance sport. Imagine yourself swimming with dolphins or soaring like a bird. You know, even if you're, let's say, running, I've used that before. If my legs feel tight, then I'll imagine myself swimming or soaring like a bird, being able to visualize myself in a different sport that I enjoy. So it's like going on it, taking yourself on a little mental vacation. And I think that's a really good way to get out of the pain and get out of boredom. But of course, wouldn't want your athlete doing that at a point where, let's say, you're on a bike course and you need to make the right turn. Make a correct turn in the course and you miss the turn, that would not be a good time to disassociate. But that's the time you want to go back to association, being fully in the here and now and checking in, what do I need to do right now? So you can go back and forth, I think, from association to disassociation, depending on the situation. So associate, check in with yourself, and then disassociate to go somewhere else in your mind. And then a couple other techniques I just want to mention are to, you can put your pain or your effort level in a different context. So imagine yourself, distance yourself from it. Like if you're really in pain a lot and you're just feeling really fatigued, you know, imagine that you can kind of just view yourself from a distance. So you're not in your body, but imagine yourself up on a hill or something. Like view yourself from a camera lens so you can, like you're watching yourself doing well in your sport. Or if you view yourself, imagine that you're taking up on a hill viewing a camera lens so you can zoom in or zoom out and make the discomfort seem less intense. It's like you're thinking, okay, that other person is experiencing that pain, not me. So it's a way to kind of, distance yourself a little bit. And also you might, if you see yourself in a camera lens, you might see, oh, that person needs to change their form or, relax their arms, relax their shoulders. So you could make those kind of changes. Another technique I want to mention is to, rather than avoid the pain, you could draw yourself closer to it. You know, embrace the pain or embrace the situation. So you can say, if I hold on to this feeling a little bit longer, I can perform my best. So just changing it from pain to intensity and just staying with the level of intensity and then helping you to focus more, really focus in on what's happening there. And then a last technique I wanted to mention was to create a sense of, that fun factor, bring the fun factor back in and enjoyment. Most athletes get way too serious and forget about what really drew them into the sport. Ask your athlete, what attracted you to the sport initially, and what do you really like about it, and get them back to that, those characteristics. So you can kind of remind yourself, ask your athletes to remind themselves of how much they enjoy doing that particular sport. Come up with some affirmations or power words around that, saying I'm doing exactly what I want to be doing. I'm using all my gifts, my talents, to in my sport. I enjoy the intensity of this of swimming or biking or running or tennis. I'm really focused on the, or have them, with some fun parts, you know, be able to bring in their humorous side to them too, and come up with something funny so they can laugh beforehand. Just saying, you know, just enjoying their what they're doing. A really good affirmation or power word is I am in my element. I think that's a really good one they could say to themselves. I am in my element. So, you know, and it's, another one is I'm choosing to do my best, or I'm choosing to do this today. So nobody's making you do it. It's something that is a choice. And remind the athlete that, you know, usually, I mean, think of how many thousands of kids or people would love to be doing what you're doing right now. And that you just enjoy being able to, we really take our sports for granted a lot of times. And just be grateful for being able to have the active body and physical health to be able to do that particular sport at that level. So reminding yourself of that sense of enjoyment and fun. Maybe create variety. Another way to create that sense of fun is to bring more variety into your training. Like with running, you could run in a new place, a new park, a new setting, swim in a different pool. With your sport, you could travel to a different place, go to a camp or something for the summer, or do something different to bring some variety into it. So those are some different tips to, on how to handle the you know, difficult events and time that I wanted to give you. And I think if you have your athletes use those tools, these kinds of tools regularly and effectively, you know, they can work through the tough spots in their both the training and the competitions, and you can challenge your athletes to really reach their true potential. So I just wanted to ask you if you have questions and any other situations where your athletes are having a tough time, if there's any other techniques that you found to be useful for handling getting your athletes through tough events, and also if you can just share what was particularly useful for you today. If anyone wants to share, that would be great. Okay, people might be on mute at this point, and so I just wanted to thank you for listening, and we're going to do our next call on April the 9th, next Thursday, April 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have any questions, you can always email me, and I really thank you for joining me. If anyone's, give you one last time, if you want to unmute, just push *6 on your phone, and then you can ask any final questions or any comments that you might have.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Chuan. This is very useful. I like the concrete examples you have provided. Very practical. It's very nice.
Oh, good. Yeah. I think they're really, it's good to have a kind of a toolbox that you can give your athletes.
Yes.
Some things work for some athletes and other things work better for others. So
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, if you give them a variety of things and then maybe have them try, say you don't need to try all these things this week, maybe pick out one or two and see which ones work for you. Then usually if you have several things, then you'll find there'll be something that can work for each person.
Right. Okay, so
yeah.
I will miss next talk, but hopefully we can make the next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, thank you so much, Alex, for joining us today. And,
sure. Okay.
Yeah, good luck to you with
your... Yeah, thanks. Be well.
With your projects. Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure, okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I don't know if you're there still, Michelle or Amy. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. And so we'll talk to you on April the 9th. And congratulations to Michelle for getting your article published up in Vancouver. That's fantastic, and thanks for sharing that and for being able to get clients from that in the North Shore News. That sounds great with your national field hockey client, and that sounds great, and thanks for sharing that. Also, thank you for Amy for sharing about the Peninsula Pennsylvania Ballet and for the things that you're doing there as well with the workshop with parents and kids and coming up with affirmations and sharing your affirmations with us. So we can develop a if you have any other affirmations like that or power words, feel free to send them to me and I can put them up on the website as well. So thank you so much, everyone, and we'll talk to you on April 9th. Have a good day now. Bye.